Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now joining us on the Kaivin Foods guest line is the first member of our 2017 Guest Hall of Fame class, and it is the Dean of Atlanta Sports Talk Radio, Mr. Bo Bach. And Bo has been a tremendous friend of the show over the last few years. He's a guy that Bob and I always look forward to having back on the show just as quickly as we possibly can because we enjoy him so much. He's been the Dean of Atlanta Sports Talk Radio since 1973. No one knows more about Atlanta sports and the suffering of the Atlanta sports fan better than Bo does. His insights and knowledge are second to none in this town. We love having him as part of the show. We're excited and honored to induct him tonight into the Thursday Night Tailgate Guest Hall of Fame. Hey, Bo, Chris and Bob, thank you for all you've done for us over the years.
Thank you. No, thank you. I'm totally flattered and honored by that. Thank you.
So,
what are you guys doing?
What's that?
I said, what are you guys doing tonight?
Well, we're enjoying our sixth anniversary special tonight. It's been a great night so far. We're just getting kicked off.
Are you engraving my name anywhere, like on a wall? Have you got chalk? Can you put it up in chalk? Anything.
In our mind.
Yeah, we do. We got your name up in chalk.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So, Bo, I want to start off our time with you tonight by getting your thoughts on the Falcons. They got off to a little bit of a sluggish start week one against the Bears, but looked really good Sunday against Green Bay. Your thoughts, how are you feeling about the Falcons so far?
I feel great. You know, I've been saying all year, you know, we're the best team in the league. We're going to the Super Bowl. This is our year. Last year wasn't our year, and what really annoys me about this jerky market of ours, because we have no sports media here, is that everybody keeps bringing up how we blew the game and how disappointed we are and all that nonsense. Hey, we were not supposed to be there. It was one of the great runs in the National Football League. We took off in week three. Week one and two last year, we would just look like 2015 and we're just going through the motions. Week three against New Orleans, we were a totally different football team. It's almost like the light went on. You know, so this year, this is our year. And then when we opened up so sluggish against Chicago and Green Bay looked like they were midseason lubricated in their first week, they were on top and they were flying around. They looked like they were midseason. I didn't think we were going to beat Green Bay because of that. And we come out not having gelled yet and just put a number on them. We're a great football team, Chris. People don't realize this yet.
So to that end, Bo, you look at the beginning, the first half of the season, right? They got the Lions Sunday in Detroit. Then they're home against the Bills. Then they get an early bye week, followed by the Dolphins at home. And then they go to Foxborough with a rematch for the Patriots. Any reason to think they don't step into that game against New England undefeated?
They should be. They should be. I fully expect them to be. When did you really get a chance to enjoy Matt Ryan in this setting with an offensive line, with the best running tandem in the National Football League, with Julio Jones, Taylor Gabriel, the receiving core that we had, and the difference, the thing that differentiates us is that Devontae Freeman. I mean, we've got a top flight running game with maybe the best aerial game in the league.
Mm-hmm. Bob, questions for Bo?
Oh, congrats, Bo. Again, it's always an honor, and I want to just stay on that whole Falcon thing because I think you're right, Bo. The offense of that team, it's right up there with one of the best I've seen in a long time because we have a quarterback
totally
like
balanced,
Ryan.
Bobby. Yeah.
That's the whole thing. I mean, you got Coleman and Freeman. You got a couple running backs. Right. You got a bunch of wide receivers. You got a tight end that's looking good, too.
Austin Hooper. Looks great.
Yeah, and it, you put it all together, and they're getting to be like the New England of the South as far as just showing up, Bo, and it's going to score 35 points. That's the type of team they have. But I'm wondering about
– And we modeled after that, Bobby. That's where Thomas Dimitrov is from, our one-time GM. I don't even know what his title is anymore. He's got so many assistant GMs up there and personnel guys. But Dan, you subscribe to that, and Arthur from the beginning has really tried to build this club in New England's image.
And as far as Matt Ryan, Bo, if this guy, it makes me laugh because up here in the Northeast, as you know, Bo, it's all about New York and the areas. You're thinking Brady and Eli Manning, and of course, branching out a little bit, you got Roethlisberger and everything. Matt Ryan might be the seventh or eighth guy you mention, and maybe he likes it that way, but down in Atlanta, that guy is as solid as a quarterback as you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, Chris, you might not mention him till 7 or 8, but the beauty of him is I don't think he cares. I mean, everybody would like to be the number one quarterback in the league, or 1, 2, 3. I don't think he cares that people pass over him. He's still on a quest to prove himself and his career and this team. I mean, you got to really admire his mental toughness. And he's not a jerk. He's a locker room favorite.
And this is what I think. A lot of people are comparing this team to the Seattle team that quote unquote blew that Super Bowl a few years ago. But this team, to me, they seem like they're more all on the same page. And of course, they seem to be a little bit mentally more strong and able to handle adversity than the Seattle team. How about your thoughts on the makeup of this team mentally?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's so unusual for us. You know, in Atlanta, we haven't had mentally tough teams. The only mentally tough teams we had was when Jerry Glanville was the defense coordinator from 77 to 82, and then when he was head coach from 91 to 93, that's the only time we had a culture, we had any type of describable mental toughness. And now all of a sudden for this team to be a smart team, to be mentally tough, to be have great camaraderie and guys playing for one another, you really have to credit Dan Quinn. Because I always say, guys, it's like everybody can X and O. Every guy that gets to be a head coach in the National Football League knows the game and how to X and O, how to draw up a play, how to stop a play. But the guys who win are the leaders. Those guys who can sell it to the team. Those guys who can get the team pumped. Those guys who can create camaraderie, in the locker room. And that's what Dan Quinn is. I mean, he just directs everything.
Well, I want to switch gears a little on you and talk a little baseball. Last time we had you on the show, you had some high expectation for the Braves this season. I thought, I think you thought that they were going to be a little bit better than they were last year, a little bit, certainly better than where they're at now. So your thoughts, what do you see and what derailed the season for them?
I think what derailed the season is that we thought we'd get some more innings out of Cologne. I liked when we made that. I liked R.A. Dickey, who's pitching right now, and he's 10-11 on the year. I mean, these guys are innings eaters. But as far as the young guys coming up, I think we might have been a little premature with that. Because don't forget, when Smoltz came up and Glavine came up, there were 2 or 3 years there when they were learning how to pitch. And it's a big difference between being effective in the minor leagues and then coming up here where everybody can hit. And so I just think that those guys took their lumps and didn't respond. We projected their success a little bit too early. That's first and foremost. Yeah.
Yeah. So are they a year away, you think? 2 years away? Where do you find them?
I think 2 years away. But the other thing is, don't forget, we're not good at this. This is not the same organization that built that last successful organization that went from 91 and 14 years after that. We win 14 divisions, but only completed the deal one time. But in 1986, we were so bad, about, you know, worse than we are right now, that Stan Kasten, the general manager at the time, who now owns a piece of the Dodgers, he talked Ted into shutting down our competitive spirit, for lack of a better term. We were going to draw everything. We made announcements to the public. Say, look, we're not going to be competitive for a couple of 3 years. We have to rebuild the minor league system. I mean, this was a big deal that no one ever mentions or even talks about, but that was a huge deal. And we had two guys, Roy Clark, who was our director of scouting, who's back with us now after going to Washington. He's back with us now. And the other guy who's not back with us was the director of player personnel, Paul Snyder. Paul Snyder and Roy Clark are great baseball men. And you say that about a lot of guys, but a lot of guys aren't great baseball men. They just hang around. Like, for instance, Bobby Cox. Bobby Cox was a great baseball man. He was just a hail fellow, well-met. He was around the league for 100 years, you know. I mean, it was absolutely terrible. Just absolutely terrible. What he was given the best team in baseball and the best pitching staff in the history of baseball, and he won one time. So what we're talking about now is moving forward and trying to duplicate that feat. Well, you know, it will be rare when anybody duplicates the feat, because not only were we the best, but the division was the worst in that period. So we don't have Paul Snyder. We've got Roy Clark, but in a different role. I don't think it can be done again like that. Don't forget, we don't have an owner. So there's nobody for Schuerholz, who's the vice CEO, and Terry McGuirk, who's the CEO, knows nothing about athletics or sports or competition or anything. You know, he's a Princeton goose. And I'm sorry. You know, we're talking baseball here. And then you've got Schuerholz, who's working so many deals behind the scenes that he can't pay attention to baseball, nor does he care. Every time he's interviewed, he keeps telling everybody how he came in 1991 after this deal was set, guys. After this team was set, he came in 1991. He keeps saying, and we won 14 straight divisions. I mean, you talk about it and ends up in the Hall of Fame because of our jerky media here. So, so it's not going to happen like it did last time, if it ever happened.
Bo, before we let you go, talk about your daily newsletter and the things that you're doing now that our listeners can tune into and listen and follow you.
Yeah, well, if you'd like to, we do a commentary every night, and it comes out via mass email, via Constant Contact. So if you send me your email address, I'd be happy to put you on the list. And it's probably the only media in town. Well, it is the only media in town. I was trying to not be, you know, an idiot. But it is the only media in town that says who can play and who can't play, who can coach, who can't coach, who can general manage and who can't general manage. The only opinion in this town, believe it or not. I mean, is that incredible? This sports town of Atlanta, Georgia, when I came here in 1973, we had four pro franchises, including the Flames and hockey, who had it going on pretty good. We won a soccer NASL championship with the Chiefs. We had two major NCAA universities and conferences, and the best motorsports and tennis in the world, and golf. And nobody was saying, and everything was in the tank, and nobody was saying anything. It was absolutely incredible to me that this was just allowed to go on and fester and fester, and the guys at the top of these organizations were filling their pockets. It was absurd. And so, after being on the air for 42 years, I started this commentary thing, and then I'm on News Talk 1160 and Facebook video every Friday at 2:00. So, but if you'd like to, my email address is bobock@gmail.com. bobock@gmail.com. If you'd like to receive that, and I'd love to send it to you.
There you go. Bo, we can't thank you enough for how great you've been to Bob and I over the last several years, and what a wonderful contributor you've been to the show. Thank you, so much for your time and the things that you have added. You're fantastic.
Right. You know what? I appreciate that, Chris and Bob. But you know what's going to happen to me tonight when I go to bed? To bed as a Hall of Famer.
That's right.
I'm going to bed
you're darn
as
right
a
you
Hall
are.
Of Famer.
That's right.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate
Take
you.
Take care, Bo.
One.
Thank you for everything.
We love you.
All the best to you and your family.
See, thank you. See,
Take
thank
care.
You very much. See, bye.
That is the great Bo Bach. He is the dean of Atlanta Sports Talk Radio. Nobody better in this town than Bo. So we always enjoy getting to spend, typically a little bit longer with Bo. Hopefully we get him back on the show again real soon. We've got the second member of our guest Hall of Fame, our 2017 class, hanging on the line, EJ Jr. We're going to get to EJ on the other side of this quick station break.